the nervous system directly. This is a trope that comes up in a bunch of science fiction movies. But there are all these brain stimulation techniques that are online now and are being used for research. And you could think about the degree to which those might be honed in a way that would allow them to be integrated for entertainment. That's not going to happen next week or the year or next year. But I fundamentally think that entertainment and movies in particular are us messing with our brains. And there's no reason we're not going to be doing that directly as part of the entertainment experience down the road.
Bad news for corn farmers. Jeff Zocs, thanks so very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Jeff Zocs is a cognitive neuroscientist at Washington University in St. Louis and author of Flicker, Your Brain on Movies. Well, that gives us some idea of why movies have such lasting power, at least they do for me.
Yeah.
They do influence how you think of the future in your own life.
They do, and it's so amazing to me that we accept the techniques of filmmaking. I mean, I can understand that we accepted Greek plays. There are no jump cuts there. But movies we do accept, and the fact that we do suggests to me that maybe we also accept the content, no matter how far out it might be. We may take that as reality, or at least a possible reality for our own futures.
Well, something else that is very real, that is the talent of our production team, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
Also, thanks to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, whose researchers investigate the nature and origin of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to science fiction true. If you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science, you may want to peruse our online archive. You can find it at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer to substitute it for over-the-air radio because you've learned of radio in some cheesy sci-fi film? Well, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station's not on that list, consider letting them know you like this show. Oh, and if you have a comment, a criticism, or a suggestion, well, we'll read them all and get back to you. Just email it to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
This isn't real.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
All righty then. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we are here today on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves, with Ride for Kids. The Michigan Ride for Kids is now 25 years old, and this is part of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation's way of raising money for children with brain cancer, brain tumors. Some of them, luckily, are not cancerous. So we're going to talk about that today. But this is Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And I must remind you that the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio, nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, and I'm your host, Lynn. We're talking about Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation today with Susan and Danny Featheringill, Daryl Manuel, and Andrea Ring. Andrea's on the phone. Andrea, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. Okay. We're going to start out by introducing Susan and Featheringill. Tell us about your experience with the Ride for Kids and just everything that you've done. You've come a long way with this.
Yes, I have. My husband and I are the current task force leaders, and we started out just riding and then moved our way up and decided we would volunteer, and that's what we did. So now we organize the task force and try to make sure that our day of event is lots of fun. So that's what we do. All right.
All right. And Danny?
Well, I'm the task force leader. Some people call me the figurehead because I don't know why I picked that up, but I did. So we've been task force leaders for a number of years now and kind of enjoying it. And it's been a nice ride.
Aha, pardon the pun.
Pardon the pun.
Okay, and Daryl?
Yeah, I'm a task force member. I'm also the chaplain and director of Faith Riders in Garden City. And we got involved with Ride for Kids in 2009. I met at then the task force leader, George Ellison. and invited him to an event we were doing at our church, and he invited me to ride for kids, and we've been doing it ever since. And I came the first year as a participant, and then every year after that I've been volunteering, and then last year got roped into being a task force member.
Yeah, Dan and I do a good job of doing that.
Yes, they do.
Okay, and Andrea, tell us about your relationship with Ride for Kids, please.
I'm a star. One of 7 or 8 of us.
Okay.
In the Michigan Ride.
You're cutting out a little bit. Could you get your phone closer to your mouth, maybe?
Is this better?
Much, yeah, thank you.
Okay. I'm Andrea, and I'm one of the stars for Ride for Kids. I got started with them back in 2012 when I was graduating high school. I was a senior in high school then. And it was actually, I was finding scholarships to apply for entering Michigan State in the next fall, and found them and got in contact with the Federation because I got the scholarship and found out about Ride for Kids.
Okay.
So went to the event, rode with Danny my first year and every year since. We've become great friends with them and Daryl and everybody else on the task force. And my mom and I are actually on the task force this year, and we hope to keep it going.
Okay. One of the terms you used was stars, that you're a star. Somebody want to tell us what a star is?
We all our brain tumor survivors that come to our ride, they're our stars. They're why we're there. And we treat them very special the day of the event. Well, sometimes we treat them special not the day of the event, too. They truly are our shining light, and I think they give us all inspiration on what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the day of the event, we make it all about the kids. They get to be up on stage, and we talk about them and let them share. And when we have them share, we ask them to share what they're doing that's not related to their brain tumor, so that they can just actually be real kids that day. And that's part of the reason why we let them also ride on the backs of motorcycles. So we assign them to motorcycles and sidecars and trikes and different things so that they can just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Andrea mentioned, Danny, that she rode with you, or she was with you, and I know that means that she was riding on the back of the bike. You want to talk about that experience?
She's been riding with me. How many years now, Andrea? 4 years? Something like that?
I think 4 years now.
And, she's kind of attached to my Goldwing. Last year, my Goldwing was in the shop, and I had to take my little chopper that has a back seat about... No, it's about the size of a... It's pretty small.
Yeah. Like a postage stamp.
So unfortunately, we got about halfway around the ride, and she leans up and says, Dan, I got to stop. She says, I got to get off this bike. So other than that, we've had a good time riding together each year, and she's gone riding with me other days besides the event too.
Mm-hmm.
I had to promise her this year I'd have the wing back.
Okay. And is it healthy this year?
We got a brand new one, so
it shouldn't have any issues. Andrea, tell us about how that feels. What's it like to ride with one of the bikes?
It's a lot of fun. It's different from horseback riding, which is what I'm used to, because the bike doesn't really have a mind of its own, except the driver. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
The ride is actually 40-45 miles, police escorted. Stars are all the front bikes in the parade, I guess you could call it. And then everyone else that is going on the ride follows us. It's a lot of fun.
When you did that first ride 4 years ago with Danny, was that the first time you were on a motorcycle?
I had been on a motorcycle once before that was my cousin's, okay. And I just got to sit on it.
Oh, it wasn't moving.
So, but that was my first time riding one.
Okay, all right. How's Danny as a driver?
He's a good driver.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. Except with the little seat. What's your favorite part of the ride?
Of the actual ride or the whole day?
No, the actual ride first, and then we'll talk about the day. Is it because it's a beautiful area? Ann Arbor area is gorgeous, and is it getting involved with nature? Is it being one of the bikes in that whole parade of bikes?
I think it's mostly just seeing the area, having a nice ride on a motorcycle, hanging out with Danny.
Okay. And then what about the entire day?
I'd have to say it's seeing everybody on the task force and the other stars. I've gotten close to a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we really only see each other at the ride every year. So we get to catch up the day of the ride, and we've Robbie Lynn and Zach Swisher, my mom and I have seen a couple times, met up with them if they've been in our area or we've been in their area. Just seeing everybody, catching up.
If you don't mind, would you describe your situation as a brain tumor survivor? When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed at age 14.
Okay.
Almost 15 years old. I had my surgery 4 days after my 15th birthday. Mm. It lasted 16 and a half hours.
Wow.
The brain tumor I had came off in little pieces. As a result of where my brain tumor was and where it was attached, I did lose sight in my right eye. So that's been difficult, getting used to having no sight on one side of me, having no depth perception. And, of course, whenever you crack open a head, you have sleep disorder problems, possible sleep disorder problems. So I've been fighting insomnia and sleep apnea for 7 years.
Wow.
So it's been difficult, especially in college. But I've gotten through it with a lot of help.
Okay. Is there a possibility that some of that will ease as the years go by, some of the sleep issues?
Yes. Okay. My sleep insomnia, I just finished a treatment earlier this year called CBT therapy,
mm-hmm.
and it helped a lot with my sleep insomnia. I was only getting about 4 hours of sleep a night. Now I'm back up to getting 7 to 8 hours.
Wonderful.
And it's helped my sleep apnea as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's possible to get over parts of it, but it's always going to be there in some form.
Right. So you're at MSU. And
yes.
What year are you now?
I'm fifth year now.
Okay.
And I'll graduate in May.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations on that. And what is your area of study?
I'm studying for a Bachelor's of Science of Zoology with concentrations in animal behavior and neurobiology, and also ecology, evolution, and organismal biology.
Wow.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's why she's in fifth year.
Right. That's ambitious, too. What do you hope to do with that education?
I'd like to go into animal behavior and some sort of training. I'm also interested in doing therapeutic riding instruction, which is very beneficial to anyone with mental or physical disabilities, such as muscle dystrophia, PTSD, anything of the like. Of course, it has to be a side job, but it's what I'm interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. Sometimes the jobs with the most passion have the least pay.
Yes.
But, yeah, there have been so many studies and the interaction between humans and animals, and a lot of great things have happened with horses with regards to, as you said, some of the PTSD issues, some of the other issues like that, where it's been a real benefit to humans.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Let's get back to thank you for opening up like that. I appreciate that, and I know the listeners do too, because you can talk about raising money, you can talk about wonderful causes, on and on, but until you talk to an actual human who is part of, and you are definitely part of all of this, it just it's just numbers and words. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, it's the whole reason we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about the overall program for Ride for Kids?
Sure. The day itself, or the foundation, or both?
All of above. All okay. of the above. Sure.
Well, I guess I could let Daryl talk about the day of event stuff, but
okay.
The foundation itself is not just there just for rides. It's also there to support families, and maybe I should let you talk about that part, the supporting of the families, because Daryl is also one of, not right. just on our task force, he is also a parent of a one of our stars. So
yeah, why don't we go into that then?
Well, like I said, we got involved in 2009, and we started doing Ride for Kids, and then in 2010, two of the members of our Faith Riders chapters lost brothers to lung cancer. I got diagnosed with throat cancer.
Oh, gee.
And we lost an 11-year-old little boy in our church to a brain tumor. Mm. So we said, enough. We need to do something. So we've got these really nice motorcycles. Let's raise some money. So we... In 2011, we did our first ever Memorial Cancer Ride, and we do that every May. And all the money we raise for that, we give to Ride for Kids later in the year. Well, then in 2012, so now I've done Ride for Kids 9, 10, 11, 3 years I've done it. And in 2012, my youngest son, who just now graduated high school this year, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he had not as bad as Andrea, it sounds like, 9.5 hours of surgery, probably the longest day of his mother's in my life. And his was benign, his tumor was benign, so we thank God for that. And he's doing awesome. He's gonna go in the Marine Corps in October. So other than the scar up the back of his head, you'd really probably never know there's anything ever wrong
right,
with him.
Right.
That's another reason why we do what we do, so that the foundation then is able to go out and get funding for research, so that we do have those survival stories. So.
Right. He got diagnosed at Garden City Hospital, and they're like, we're not equipped to deal with this. So they wanted to send him to Children's in Detroit, and I looked at the doctor. I work midnight, so I was home sleeping. So by the time my oldest son came and got me, I got up there, the ambulance was on its way to take him to Children's, and I said, I'm sorry, nothing against Children's Hospital. I love them. I think they're great. I know they do fabulous work, but he's going to go to Mott's. And the guy looked at me and was like, well, why? What's the difference? I said, because I've been raising money for the last 3 years for kids with brain tumors, and some of the money we raise goes to Mott's. They're getting some of that research funding. They're in contact with the people at Duke. I think Duke does most of the foundation's mm-hmm. research. I said, so that's where he's going to go. And I can't say enough about Mott's Children's Hospital. They are just fabulous. I know most of our stars in the state, that's where they've gone. When the families start talking amongst each other, we have a common denominator there. But yeah, they're fabulous. And we're Michigan State fans, but my son on Michigan State, Michigan Day, will wear his Michigan State t-shirt and his U of M socks and say, U of M saved my life. I can't root against them. So, you know, it cracks me up. So he's got a great sense of humor about the whole thing. And I remember the first year I'd been doing Ride for Kids, like I said, for the previous 3 years. So that year when Ride for Kids happens, I says, dude, now you get to come and you need to come and do this with me. And because he was my riding buddy up until he got 16, you know, then he was too cool to get on the back of my bike. So I'm like, you need to come and do this ride with me. He's like, all right, cool. What time do we got to get up? I'm like, we got to get up early. He didn't like that idea. But so he came with me that year, and I think it was pretty humbling for him because he looked at me when we went to get on the, he got to meet all the stars, and then we go to actually do the ride, and we're getting on the bikes, and he said, Dad, he's like, wow. He says, some of these guys, they got it way worse than I do. And, you know, so I think it was an eye-opener for him. It was good. You know, he was, in 2012, he would have been 13 going on 14. He would have been 14 by the time the ride happened. He was 13, I think, when he had his surgery.
Okay.
So.
How was he diagnosed? What made anybody look into the idea that he might have a brain tumor?
He actually, he had debilitating migraines that would just cause him to just be totally wiped out. And we had put him on, he had been diagnosed the year before with ADHD, and so we had him on medicine for that, and we thought that the meds were causing the headaches. So they kept tweaking those, and nothing helped, and he just kept having headaches. And then summer rolls around, he's out of school, so we're like, just quit taking the meds. Find out later how we were supposed to do that, but so I'm just like, quit taking them. And so we did, and we thought, you know, okay, this is good, you know, the headaches will go away. I went away for camp, was fine to come back, and was helping me move some lumber because I was redoing my deck in a hot day like today. And I just turned around and looked at him, and he looked like he was he was high. And I'm like, you all right? I don't feel good. I'm going to go in the house, lay down. So I told my wife, I said, we need to call the doctor, get him in, get him checked. And our doctor, our family doctor, because of, they had misdiagnosed my throat cancer. They thought it was tonsillitis at first because it was in my tonsils. So wow. He's just like, I'm not taking after Daryl. I'm not taking we're not holding back. We're going to send him tomorrow and get him an MRI for, you know, or a CAT scan and see if we can see what's going on. So he went the next day, and they gave him a CAT scan, and as soon as they did the CAT scan, they saw it. And they said it's one of those things that they would usually find, a car accident, kid gets a concussion playing football or hockey or something like that, and then they would check you for a concussion, and they'd be like, oh, what's this? This isn't supposed to be there. And so it was just one of those fluke things. But eventually it could have. The headaches were from, it was plugging up, it was at the base of his skull, so it was plugging up the drain to his spinal column and causing the fluid around his brain to build up pressure. Eal he would have had a grand mal seizure, his brain would have collapsed, it could have killed him.
Right.
So it was very serious. So like I said, we're very fortunate that it was totally benign. It wasn't cancerous, right. But they said it was a slow growing tumor and it could have probably been there his whole life.
Okay. And then he made this decision, and he's going to be part of the Marines.
Yes. Yep. He loves superheroes. And
he is one.
Yes. And him and I, that's been our thing. You know, my oldest son and me, it's sports, and him and I, it's music and comic books. And if you see the back of my motorcycle vest, I got a Batman patch on there. My previous bike was a Captain America bike. It was all done out like Captain America. The one I have now, I'm going to do like Batman. But that's been our thing, and he's always been like, got this superhero thing. And he wants to actually go into the FBI and work to end human trafficking. He has a passion for it.
Wow.
And so he's going to go to the Marine Corps first. He was going to originally go as a reservist, and then he started thinking about it and said, you know, I'm going to go through boot camp and all that training, and then I'm going to come home? No, I can't do that. So he's going to go full-time in the Marines in October, do that. Then when he gets out, cool thing about that is then he gets the GI Bill, and they'll pay for his college and save me some money.
So he's going in for, what, 4 years?
Yeah, it'll be 4 years. I think it's four, maybe five.
Okay.
Depending on what job he does, I think.
Okay.
And then he'll come out and go to college, go to, he's talking about Spring Arbor University and criminal justice degree out there.
So. Wow. Well, the Marines are lucky to have him.
Yeah. They're not going to know what hit him when they get him. That's, Andrea was talking about that sleep apnea thing. I think Ryan might have some of that. He don't like to get up in the morning. So, I said, what are you going to do at 5:30 in the morning when a drill instructor is screaming their head off at you? Well, I'm used to it. You do that. You've been doing that for 5 years. Like, all right, we'll see.
Oh, my gosh. And with regards to the human trafficking, he just hopes to work with the FBI to bust up some of the rings and things.
Yeah. He's. We had a lady come to our church a couple years ago and speaking about it and just, you know, drawing attention, you know, getting people to, because that's the thing, people don't realize how horrible it
is. Yes.
And how prevalent it is in our society today. It's modern day slavery is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking about it, and he's just like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. He's like, I need to stop this. So he's bound and determined. And he's that kid, it's that ADHD part of him that he gets his mindset on something. He's like super focused on it.
So. Fantastic. We need that kind of dedication in this world.
Yeah.
Wow. Is he going to be at the ride on
yes,
the 31st?
He will be at the ride. He originally wasn't going to be, but Susan talked to him the other day and said, you know, it's our 25th year, and with you going to the Marine Corps in this fall, you should really come and speak. And he's like, okay. So he'll tell me no. He ain't going to tell. He won't tell her no. So.
Right.
Well, it's nice for participants of the event to see that their money went towards something that was worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So that when you can see that the kids then can do something after they've been diagnosed, that's a good thing. Because we do have one of our participants is in her 30s, and she was, you know, diagnosed when she was very young. Mm-hmm. And she got the treatment before the foundation, you know, got as involved, to know that when you're treating a child's brain, it's a whole lot different than treating an adult brain because it's still growing, still developing, all those kind of things. So she has a lot of lasting side effects that will be with her, you know, forever. And so she always is thankful that the new kids, that's what she calls them, the new kids. Don't get their brains attacked like they did for her, and so that therefore then they can do things and continue on. And so,
and she, and now that we're talking about her, she has done so much. Last I knew, she had her master's degree.
Yes.
And she's grabbing life and just going with it.
Yeah.
Not letting anything
slow her
down.
She's definitely not a slacker, but she does have, you know, issues, you know, walking and, you know, some of those kind of things the rest of us kind of take for granted, but she, you know, struggles with. But
we do a lot of rides throughout the year, our group, our Faith Riders chapter, and we just did one last Sunday, and we do all these different rides throughout the year, but this is the one where we, all of our guys, we volunteer, we work it, we raise money for it. You know, all the other rides we do, we show up, we pay our $25 or $30 or $40, whatever it is, to do the ride. We do the ride and we go home. This is the ride that we're behind. This is the ride that we do. And the difference between this ride and every other ride is we actually take the kids that we're raising money for on the ride with us. Nobody else does that. Mm-hmm. There's no other ride out there where the kids are stars that we're raising money for to help. They get to go on the ride, them and their family, their entire family gets to go. Yeah. So like the last 2 years, I've taken two of her little sisters the last 2 years. So I said, I think she's got one more. I'm going to get that one this year. So I'm like, she's going to go with me next year. So, you know, it's that's what's special to me about this is that doesn't happen in any other ride. Mm-hmm. And you just, to see the looks on their faces, these kids, some of them never been around a motorcycle, they just seen them, you know, and they get to actually get on one, oh man, that's makes their day.
Yeah, yeah. I always tell people when I will disclose that I am a volunteer and have been for a number of years, and this is one of my favorite days of the year when it comes time for Ride for Kids. And I always tell people, I said, well, the kids are sick. They have brain tumors, and they might be cancerous, they might not be, but they're still sick kids. And if they're having a good day, they're going to be there and ride with one of the bikers. And I said, if they're having a so-so day, they might be there, but they're not going to ride. And if they're having a really bad day, then they're not there at all. They're at home. And it's so gratifying to see how many stars are able to come out the day of the ride and ride with the bikers and get up on that stage after everything is done. And it's just amazing. They're little heroes, they're stars. And there's another person, John, who's a little bit older. I think he's the same age as Ruthie.
Might be
33, 34, something like that. Yeah. And he's legally blind at this point. And I think it's his uncle who did up a bike that looks like a motorcycle and has all the features of a motorcycle on it. And it enables him to be able to ride something. Yeah. So it's always good to see that. So anytime anybody sees them, I think that's the first question. Did you bring the bike? Did you bring the bike this year? Did you not bring the bike this year? And does he ride with somebody?
He rides with his uncle.
He rides with the uncle? Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's just so much family involvement. I don't remember who, somebody said, you know, Susan, things that we take for granted.
Right.
Like walking and seeing and not thinking about all these things, mm-hmm. We all take that for granted. And there are a lot of people who need our help.
Right. So. Well, like, I mean, Andrea just briefly mentioned it, but that she's lost sight in one eye, and the things that she can do that she, you know, compensates for that. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to watch her. Like, you know, I have two eyes I can see, and she can still, you know, mm-hmm. have.
I never knew that until she just said it.
Better coordination, so
tells you how.
Yeah, she does a better job, you know, because she's got the horse trailer and doing the backing up and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't do it.
She said, Andrea was telling me one day she went to get her driver's license, and she had an extended cab, full-length bed pickup truck to take her driver's test with. And you know how long they are. And the instructor wanted her to park in this parking spot, and right. She pulled in there. And she left a little bit too much space, and he made a comment. But other than that, and that's when she told him that she was blind in one eye, and so her depth perception was off. And he said, "Oh," and signed her license. You know, it was fine. But
Andrea, do you ride on a regular basis? You talked about working with the horses.
Yeah, I ride about 3 or 4 days a week. Usually during the summer. It's mm-hmm. harder, of course, when I'm away at college because my divorce is half an hour away from where I live.
Okay.
From college. And I just do trails with my horse at home, so it's not too hard with him. But I also do competitive dressage with the MSU dressage team at school.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, I've trying eventing with Mulks Eventing out of Williamston, which is three different phases. It's dressage, show jumping, and cross-country jumping, which has been quite interesting with the depth perception. So right. But I'm riding school masters, and they know their distances, and I'm learning good distances to take for jumps and everything, and been fun trying to figure it out.
Could you explain a little bit about what that is? I know some of the words, but I'm not a horse person, and just explain it for the listeners.
What dressage and jumping is?
Yes.
Dressage is basically, the easiest way to explain it is dancing on horseback.
Okay.
You do a pattern and make the horse look like they're dancing, basically. It's in the Olympic Games. If you just YouTube dressage Olympic freestyles, they have some amazing freestyles, and sometimes people dress up to match the music that they're going in, like Phantom of the Opera, Frozen. I've seen all kinds of costumes. Jumping, of course, you have, I don't know how to explain the jump.
Don't you have like a bar that they jump over?
Jumping logs and everything.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And there's also tables, not like actual tables, but they're called tables. You can kind of imagine a table at different heights, and in the higher levels of eventing, the tables can be up to 8 feet wide that the horses have to jump at about 4 feet high.
Wow.
I know. I'm amazed too.
Yeah, and see, so, and yeah, she complains when I pull a wheelie on the motorcycle.
Cross-country jumps can be.
Okay. Well, I can see how having depth perception issues would really, I mean, like quadruple challenges. That, oh, congratulations on that. Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting to hear that you're doing that kind of thing. Okay, let's get back to the ride.
Yes, and I was going to say one thing, you know, and we're halfway through the show, and I have failed to mention rideforkids.org.
Okay.
That's where you go to sign up, to volunteer, to whatever you want to do, donate to a participant. You can also sign up as a virtual rider if you don't have your own motorcycle, but rideforkids.org. And I think then it actually takes you to like curethekids.org. But if you go to rideforkids.org, and it's for FOR, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk about the ride, Michigan ride, yeah, in 25 years.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I know. This is pretty exciting. It's our 25th year. This year, when you come, registration starts at 9. So we have set it back a little bit. We have gotten a little bit more streamlined at how we register. So therefore, we don't start until 9 now. So people can sleep in. So registration is from 9 until 10:30, and then the kick stands up at 11. And what we're doing this year, when you come at 9, so plan on coming at 9 and staying for that entire time, because we are going to have pancakes. They are going to be made right on site. We have a company called King Brothers that come and bring their griddles and just flip pancakes for you. We're also having donuts that are being donated to us by Meyer.
Nice.
And oh, we can't say that.
No, don't say that.
And all so right. We are after we have pancakes and all those kind of things, then we're going to get on the bike. And Andrea already told you that it's a police escorted ride, which is always nice for bikers, because it's one time when you can go through all the stoplights, stop signs, and not have to worry about it, because you got the police officers ahead of you instead of behind you. So that's a nice thing. And then after we're done with the ride, which is about an hour ride, then you'll come back, and then we have pulled pork sandwiches for our lunch, along with some other stuff that will
There's a veggie option, right?
Yeah, there will be a veggie option, yes. But there will also be, you know, chips, cookies, I don't know, some fruit or something of the day. And then that's when we get to talk to the kids and do all those kind of things. But one of the things that the stars also get to do is pick winners, because each person that comes the day of the event will be entered into a drawing to win a new motorcycle. So that's always an exciting thing. So if you come, we would prefer that everybody register ahead of time and go to rideforkids.org, register. And if you bring in donations of at least $50, you'll get a Ride of the Day event shirt. Plus you'll get, because this is our 25th year doing this, you'll get a 25th year patch. We're not sure exactly what it looks like. There's actually 4 rides this year that this is their 25th year of doing this. But so Michigan will have that, so it's kind of one of those good things that you want to come this year and get that. We also are trying to bring our money up so that our donation level is higher. If we don't raise enough money, we are at one of those rides that may be eliminated. Starts to get too pricey to do rides and events. So we would like to have the Michigan ride continue beyond our 25th year. So we're trying to talk everybody into coming. So bring your friends, neighbors, have them all donate to you, come that day, whatever. But rideforkids.org.
Okay. Rideforkids.org. And is there any way to get hold of you, or is that the website the best way to do that? If somebody has questions about the ride or whatever,
if you go to the website, there is a spot where it tells about us, but they can also, you know, contact us.
I think we're on the website.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So go to the website for everything. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rideforkids.org.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you can have your questions answered. Talk about the virtual riding, because sometimes people don't quite get that.
Right. Well, when you go online to register, you can say that you're going to be riding a motorcycle. But if you know you don't have a motorcycle, you just select that you're a virtual rider, which means that you're going out there just to collect funds for the day. And by doing that, then you're still eligible to get, you know, the t-shirt, the patch, all those kind of things. And you can still come that day and get the food and all those kind of things, but you just won't be riding on a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So you just are kind of like in that pretend world, you know, that you're virtually riding a motorcycle. So
a cyberspace motorcycle.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. Danny, we haven't heard a lot from you today.
Oh, I've just been letting these two yak. But one thing I would, a quick little story and something Sue said reminded me of it. Last year we were down for a ride in Tennessee, and one of the girls down there who we've been going down to see, every other year we usually go to their ride. And she was, I want to say 8 or 9 when she had her first tumor, but she's been recently diagnosed with another tumor. Hmm. And one thing she reiterated when she was up on stage was that she knows in her heart that the treatments she went through for her first tumor were a lot rougher and had a lot more adverse effects on them what she was facing for her second one because of the ride for kids.
Wow.
So she was just unexplainably grateful for the ride for kids and what we do.
Okay.
So, and it's, you know, Sue and I have traveled literally 3/4 of the country doing the different Ride for Kids events, and we've met so many stars and so many parents, and it truly is a wonderful organization, and we're the leading source of funding for research in the country, so we need to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Still got a long ways to go.
Yeah. What did they say? The largest non-government
source
of funding research. And, like, well, I don't remember what that one website is, but there's a website that tells you, like, where your money goes when you donate to a charity.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And we're, like, ranked up in the top.
Yeah.
Part of that, because almost every, I think it's like 80-some cents on every dollar we donate goes toward research.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pretty cool.
Danny, how is she doing now? Where is she in her recovery path?
I don't know. We haven't been down. We didn't go down there this year.
Okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of the kids we do see and families we've been in touch with, we see them once a year or once every other year. So it is hard to keep up. One of our stars down in South Bend, we do there every year because it's just a 3-hour drive across. There's a little girl down there who's she can't help but touch your heart. She's 18 years old.
Okay.
She looks like she's 8.
Oh.
She's, when she was 7 or so, she was diagnosed, and the treatments that she went through at that time basically stopped her growth 100%. She just quit growing. And last year I saw her and I almost started crying because she looked so bad. But she was there this year when we were down there, and I had actually taken her dad on the back of my bike a couple times over the years, so he saw me when we were down here there a month ago, and I think he's going to come up for our ride, because he said if it was going to be our last one, he wanted to come up, you know, because we go down there every year, he says, so they might come up and stay at the house and go to our ride with us Sunday. Mm-hmm. The parents of these kids are just so touched by what we do. It's just gives you a good feeling.
Definitely. Talk about, you mentioned kind of in passing, I think all of you did, I guess I'd use the word interaction between the various rides, where you go to Tennessee to do the ride down there, or you go to Indiana to do the ride there. And I know that I was working with, some people from Indiana a couple of years ago, and we were all at the same desk, you know, doing the same task. Just talk about that interaction, that national family, if you will, of the rides.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. It's really like a family. In fact, the last conference that they did for task force leaders, they did a new app called Bonfire that you can interact kind of like Facebook. And, I mean, there's conversations on there all the time, because you do. You just feel like they're part of your family. This year, I think there are 33 rides throughout the United States. And like Dan said, we've gone to many of them. We decided that we really like the Ride for Kids and what they do for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, that's what we wanted to do. So we plan our vacations around rides. So when the ride schedule comes out for the year, we pull it up and go, okay, which ones are we going to do? And try to decide, like, all right, can we plan a vacation around here? Where are we going to be at? So, and all of the money from all of those events all go to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. So that's kind of the nice thing. The last couple of years, the leadership for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation has changed, and they wanted to add like a little bit of pizzazz, I guess you would call it. They call it the wow factor, so that at each event gets to do their own wow. To decide what they want to do. So what we did for our WOW was just kind of have fun and games that day. So we bring hula hoops and a bubble maker and
frisbees.
Yeah, frisbees. I don't know, those balls that you kick with your feet.
I wanted to bring lawn darts, but nobody would let me.
Yeah. Yeah, so instead we play, what's the game with cornhole. So we made cornhole and did some other events, you know, things like that. So,
and we added the pancake breakfast.
Yes, and we did add the pancake breakfast and the pulled pork sandwiches for lunch, because before we would give you donuts and we'd give you a cold sandwich in a bag. So now we give you hot breakfast and a hot lunch. So, I mean, like, what more could you want? Like,
and last year, the one of the task force leaders from California happened to come by in time of our ride, so he did our ride, and he was blown away by our ride. He thought it was the best Ride for Kids event he had ever been to.
Wow.
So,
Daryl, talking about the family aspect, if you will, and some of the, you know, the cross rides and that sort of thing, as a parent of a child that was diagnosed with a brain tumor, how do you feel your support is? Do you feel like you're not your son, but you're getting support from the ride?
Oh yeah, it's great to be able. We've made some really good friends. My wife came the first year. My wife doesn't ride with me. So motorcycles is not her thing. But so the first year that when Ryan had his surgery that year, the whole family came out. You know, my oldest son and her and his girlfriend at the time, and so we all came out, did the ride together, and we ended up, because I talked about our surgeon that we had out at Mott's, and one of the other task force members, Patty, came up and said, he was my surgeon. And we're like, he's a pediatric surgeon. She's like, yeah, but I was rusted in the ER, and it was his turn to do ER rotation that weekend, so he ended up doing my surgery. As an adult, she had an aneurysm and I don't know if it was a small tumor, exactly what her medical stuff was, but we had the same surgeon. Her and my wife are now, you know, they became really good friends, and, you know, they talk all the time. And we run into them, and they actually came to our bike blessing this year, and they've come and done events with us. And their daughter, Alex, and my son, Ryan, the one that had the tumor, have become really good friends, and they talk a lot. And so it's kind of neat. It's just you have that kind of common denominator. And so then, you know, of course, you know, the first thing out of the parents' mouths when we see each other, you haven't seen each other in years, you know, how are they doing? You know, we want to know how each other's kids are doing, you know. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool to catch up with them and see how the year's been going. It's really neat to watch the kids grow. I was looking at the photos from the first year we did it compared to last year. And if you raise enough money, they give you this nice plaque, and it's got all the stars' photos from your ride on it. And we got one of those the other day for last year. And I'm looking at that picture, and I'm going, oh my gosh, these kids, how much they've grown. It's really cool to be able to watch them grow up. Because, you know, to be honest, 20, 30 years ago, most of these kids would have never been able to grow up. They would have never made it.
Yeah. We started doing the ride in 92, I think, and at that time, the life expectancy of a child with a brain tumor was 2 months once they were diagnosed. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not really that long ago.
No. So.
I have not heard that statistic, so that one just... people tell you it's unusual for me to not have anything to say, but I don't have anything to say. That's just
we've come a long way. Still got a long way to go.
Absolutely. It's cool, and like how Andrea said, she found the foundation was because of the scholarship. So now these kids are living long enough to where they're graduating high school, they're going to college. Mm-hmm. So now there's a new dilemma. So now they've actually the foundation, the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, is actually now offering college scholarships to these kids. So they get to go. So our stars now get to graduate high school. They get to go off to college, and that help we help raise money to help send them to college too. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. And we were talking about Ruthie with her master's. So they're not just going to college; they're graduating from college, and they're doing great things. Mm-hmm. So, when do you expect to graduate, Andrea?
This coming May.
You did mention that earlier. I apologize. Right. So. Coming fast. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. One more time, contact information, Susan.
Rideforkids.org. Mm-hmm. And go there, register.
When you go there, it asks you to pick a ride, and they'll show you a map. It's the only ride in Michigan. Just click on the map on Michigan. It'll take you right to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? We said that you're supposed to come at 9 o'clock. For registration? I don't think we told anybody. It's July 31st.
Yeah, Saturday. So it's Sunday, July 31st.
Sunday, July 31st.
Sunday.
Yes. And if you're a worker, you get there a little bit earlier than that, but that's okay.
Yes, yes. And if you are going to volunteer, we will have training again on Thursday night and also again on Saturday for those that can't make it on Thursday.
Right.
So if you do want to volunteer, you can... check out the website, and I think there's a spot that says if you want to volunteer, but there's also a 800 number on there for the foundation that you can do that.
So it's a place where you can go to find help if you are in a situation with a child with a brain tumor.
Yes.
It's a place where you can sign up to collect pledges, a place where you can sign up to volunteer.
Yes.
A place where you can find Danny and Susan.
Right.
Track
right.
them down and give them a call.
Yes.
And
yes. The other thing that the foundation is also beginning is they're trying to get more involved in the parent helping mode, so that if you do find out that you do have a child that's newly diagnosed with a brain tumor, they're going to have like a kit for you that will say, these are the questions that you should be asking. These are the things that are out there. These are the support places that are available, and be more involved in that whole process. You know, not just working directly with the researchers, but also working with families. Mm-hmm. So that's a new piece.
When Ryan had his tumor, we were at Mott's, like I said earlier, and that we had a social worker assigned to us, you know, to help the wife and I and my son, my other son. And it was really cool. She had no idea about the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation and the Right for Kids. So I actually turned her onto that and gave her, I ended up giving her the resources.
Okay.
And I said, look, here's all this cool stuff. She goes, wow, this is awesome. You know, and so that was really kind of neat that we were able to do that for them. So,
so in your family, how many kids do you have?
I have two boys.
Two. Okay. How did this impact your other son?
He was actually the one that at first was like, he needs to go get a CAT scan. You know, something's not right. He was worried. He's 3 years older. He's the big brother.
Okay.
So he's, you know, he was pretty worried. You know, like, to the day of the surgery, we were all, you know, we all kind of dealt with it our own way. My wife kind of stayed in his room the entire time. I don't think she came out at all, hardly at all, that whole day for his surgery.
Sure.
Where me, I needed to be around everybody. I needed to be around people. And so we all kind of dealt with it a little different. It was very stressful, that's for sure. I don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
So, and you know, like I said, we're thanking God we had great results. Not everybody's as fortunate. So.
Well, I'm so happy that this worked out. And again, the Marines are lucky to get this guy. I've not met him, but he sounds like a real winner.
Yeah, well, he'll be there. You'll get to meet him this year. So.
Yes. He'll be at the ride if anybody wants to meet him.
Okay. Right. All right.
Yes.
So will Andrea?
Andrea will be there.
July 31st.
Yep.
Sunday morning.
9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Andrea, you're riding with Danny again?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I was trying to talk her out of it. I gave her a ride in May, and I was trying to talk her to go with me because my bike's way more comfortable than that Fury. But.
Yeah, but it only goes halfway, and then you breaks down and she has to ride in a car.
I got a screw in my tire. That's not a breakdown. That doesn't count. You can't do that.
Well, I don't know. The bike's running and then it's not running.
Well, the bike ran just fine. No problem with how the bike runs. It's out in the parking lot right now.
So. Oh, gosh.
You can tell we have fun.
Oh, definitely.
And that's the important part. And just gaining these relationships and doing those kind of things that's what the foundation is all about, you know. So,
Andrea, do you hope to move from a horse to a bike one day?
I think I'll stick with my horses and just riding with Danny.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about anything going on in your life?
Just come out to the ride on the 31st.
Okay. And everybody can meet Andrea and Ryan in person.
Yep.
That'll be wonderful.
Uh-huh. And I know Andrea is registered out there. So if you're not riding and you want a participant to, you know, help out, she's out there. I think, don't you have a team name like Horsey Girl or something like that?
Andrea? Yeah, something.
Yeah.
I forget what it is.
It makes it hard to direct pledges in your direction.
Just a little. Yeah, it's like Team Andrea Horsey Girl, I think.
Okay. All right. So that's out there on the same site.
On the same site, yep.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yeah, because you have three choices when you go out there that you can sign up to be a participant, you can support a participant, and there's a third thing, and I don't remember what that third thing is.
Yeah. Join a team or be a virtual rider?
Is it the virtual part?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
But because I always just do the, you know, be a participant or support a participant, you know. I don't remember what that third thing is out there. But
all right.
So, therefore, yes. And so now that I've piqued your interest, now you want to go out there to rideforkids.org and see what that third thing is. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing that, from a non-rider, it is such an impressive stream when you see that line of bikes, and they're different colors and different sizes and different models.
Yes, and that's
it's so cool. That is
the important part, because you're not a biker person, so you don't know this. But even though we do have a motorcycle that's donated to us, we don't care what kind of bike you bring. So all ride varieties are, so we don't care. Okay. As long as you can ride on the street with it, you can bring it the day of the event, and it doesn't matter what names on the side
on the bike.
Of
it. Okay. Yeah. Are we dual sport again this year or no?
No.
Okay.
No. We're strictly a street.
Strictly
ride.
A street ride. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
I heard people might get lost, so maybe we lost a few over the years in the woods.
Yes.
Duo sport meant that we had the street ride, which was escorted by the police, and then we also had a ride that went off on off-road, so on trails and in the woods.
No, it was mainly just dirt roads.
Dirt roads.
But it was non-escort, and we just sent people away with their maps, and sometimes they'd come back, and sometimes they wouldn't.
Yeah, see? So it's much safer this year. So go to that website again, which is, Sue?
RideForKids.org.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to sign up, get all kinds of information.
Yes.
And it changes lives. It changed my life. And I do not have a child with a brain tumor. I do not ride a motorcycle. I'm not really involved at all. And it's been life-changing for me just watching. And I've been there enough years that I remember seeing, I forgot his name again. He was 17 months old when he was diagnosed.
Andrew.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors, who have such a great bedside manner, told his mom, basically make your final plans with him. And he's now six?
No.
No?
He's 9 or 10.
He's 9? I did lose track.
Yes.
And so he's 9. He's in school. Mm-hmm. He's doing well. He has a lot of energy.
Yes, he does. He is a drummer.
Oh, my.
So,
the reason he's here, a lot has to do with his mom telling the doctors, no, they couldn't do certain things.
Right.
They were going to move in this direction, and she really took control of what happened to her son. And then
she found RideForKids.org.
And then she found RideForKids.
And went, ooh, motorcycles and my kid. I like it. we also do have a Facebook page, too.
Okay.
So you can check out our Facebook page, the Michigan Ride for Kids.
Okay. Susan, Danny, Daryl, Andrea, and virtual Ryan, thank you all for sharing your stories and talking about Ride for Kids. Again, the webpage is rideforkids.org, and take a look at it. The ride this year is the last Sunday in July. That's July 31st, and all the people you've heard over the radio, you'll be able to meet in person. So thank you so much for being here today with Impact. Thank you all for listening to this Impact Show. This is the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Go.